Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Great stuff. Okay. Isaiah chapter 65. 3 years we've been chugging through this book and we're nearly finished. We've got one chapter to go after today, so I don't really know what we're going to do. But there's plenty more to go up. Anyway, the reason I've got a bit of an embarrassing suntan is last week I was in the Bahamas, for 5 or 6 days, and then before that was 5 or 6 days in Orlando doing this exponential conference. And poor me, hey. When I was at Exponential, I had this strong sense that really God-confirming stuff he's been saying to me about Jesus coming soon. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming soon. We are in the last days of the last days. So when you gather together with 5,000 leaders from all over the world, and you hear what God's doing in China, this explosion of the Christian church, and you hear what God's doing in Africa and India and just the Pfizer revival all over the world, and you realize that the number of Christians on planet Earth in the last 100 years have trebled. Did you know that? There's never been a season where more people are becoming Christians in the history of this planet. It's true, you know. 100 years ago, sorry, over two-thirds of the world Christians lived in Europe. In the last 100 years, there's been this incredible explosion where now 26% live in Europe, and the real action is in all these places that were previously so dark. And I read my Bible, and in my Bible it says that two things. It says in the last days, the Spirit will be poured out on all the earth. Sure sign is that we're on the last days of the planet, is the Spirit's poured out. And I was hearing the stories about Azusa Street, you know, the great Pentecostal movement that started in this little street in California and then spread all over the world. And you know what all the action is really in terms of church growth? It's all Pentecostal charismatic churches. It's where the action is because God's pouring out his Spirit. And I went to the Bahamas and I went to this church, Zion Baptist Church, like it's like liturgy, robes, all sort of old school stuff. But man, the Holy Spirit's present. Crazy preaching that would make James Eladrian look laid back. Seriously. And incredible ministry and amazing worship and heavy sense of God's presence. Holy Spirit stuff that's happening all over the world because God's pouring out his Spirit in our days. I just got this sense, actually, this is end time stuff that's going on. All over the world, the Spirit's moving. And then that cheeky little verse you've heard me quote before from Daniel chapter 10, where it says, doesn't just say in the Bible in Acts 2, in the last days, the Spirit will be poured out on all the earth. It says, in the last days, two things. People will travel to and fro, and knowledge will increase greatly. Daniel 10, I think it's Daniel 10, 4. And that's what's happening. Knowledge, even in this period, this 100 years of the Spirit being poured out, what's happened is this exponential growth in knowledge. Knowledge was pretty much set. You know, if you grew up for the first however many thousand million years of life on planet Earth, you had a certain amount of knowledge. You knew a bit of stuff about you and your world. But now, people on planet Earth know so much. I have more knowledge in my pocket, in my smartphone, than any person who's ever lived. And we have an opportunity to spread the knowledge of the gospel like never before. So that's one sign that we're in the last days, the last days. Another sign, according to the Bible, is people will travel to and fro. I remember when, as a teenager, I went to Mallorca for my first international adventure. It was a big deal. You know, we didn't really do that. Even that's in my lifetime. You know, 40 years ago when I went to Mallorca, it was like, wow, I'm getting on a plane for 2.5 hours. And I'm going to Spain for my holidays. I mean, my kids, Sam and Beth, don't think anything of going to Brazil and India and Africa, do they? People just travel to and fro, don't they? And it's what's happened. And for pretty much the history of life on planet Earth, we traveled on horseback. And we didn't go very far. We certainly didn't go outside our community. We'd very rarely go outside our nation. But can you just see what's going on? But of course, those are the two things that allow us to fulfill the Great Commission, aren't they? That we can spread the knowledge of the gospel and we can travel everywhere very quickly to take it to the ends of the earth. Can you sniff the sign of the times? I'm not saying Jesus is coming soon. I'm saying he's coming soon. I'm not saying he's coming tomorrow, but he might. And I want to be on tiptoes of expectation. I want to be like, God, I can see what you're doing on the earth, and I want to be part of it. So when I see you face to face, I get that, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm part of the action, and it's happening. And then, so this is what I was going to say at the start of the day. And then this morning, Carl showed me this book. I want to write a book like this once, please, God. This is Reinhard Bonnke Ministries' latest book, or one of the most recent ones, about what's happening in Nigeria. And I didn't have time to put it on the screen, but, you know, just crazy pictures and things like 1.859 million salvations at this last campaign. And there's another one somewhere where, and look at the size of the crowds, millions gathering under the, look, this is the dark continent not long ago, 100 years ago. And there's 3.4 million salvations. God, could we write a book like this one day? Could we write a book like this about, you know, and this was a place where nothing was happening. And then suddenly the Lord decides he's going to pour out his spirit on all the earth. And people hang on to his coattails and he does his thing. And it's amazing, isn't it, being part of God's purposes in this generation, don't you think? So anyway, all that to get us to Isaiah chapter 65, and we're coming to the end of the book, and really Isaiah in the last two chapters is, I think, summing up the whole book. The whole book is based on this, what I've just said. God will have a people. God's purposes will prevail. God is determined to have a people. This book is a book of two things. It's a book of salvation and judgment. That's the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah 65 and 66 sums it all up. And you can't have one without the other. A lot of the church, I think, nowadays wants the salvation story without the judgment story. Can't have it. It doesn't work. In fact, there's no real salvation unless you're being saved from something, is there? And we're being saved from judgment because of what Christ did. And it's all there in the book. And I've decided I'm going to, by faith, accept all this book. I am not going to get my Tippex out on any of it. I don't like it all. I don't agree with it all. It's not my book. It's his book. And the more we put this book at the center of our lives and the center of our ministry, the more we'll thrive. So salvation is a beautiful story of this book. It's central to what the whole book, not just Isaiah, the whole Bible is all about. That God will have a people. God reaches out to a people, determined to have a people who will share his glory, experience the blessing of being no longer a slave to fear, but a child of God. That was a good moment, wasn't it, this morning? That's us. So many things you could be fearful about, but actually we're children of God because God's reached out to us. Isaiah, if we go back nearly 3 years ago, in Isaiah chapter 5, where Isaiah gets his great commission, sees the Lord in the temple, has this amazing time with God in the temple, and he says, "Here I am, send me." Someone's even stolen the title and produced a book. I hope Isaiah doesn't tell me off in heaven. That was my idea. But Isaiah in the temple says, "Here I am, send me." But Isaiah could only say, "Here I am, send me," because God said it first, "Here I am." Listen to the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 65. Tell me this is not beautiful. This is God, Almighty God, who doesn't need us. "I reveal myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation who did not call my name, I said, 'Here I am, here I am.' All day long, I held out my hands to an obstinate people." See, God's reaching out. God's saying, "Here I am." We can only say, "Here I am, God," because he says, "Here I am" first. Because he's reaching out, desperate. God's desperate, I believe, to have a people. He will have a people. He will have
He will populate heaven. He will have a family. He will have friends who share in his glory and work alongside him. What a massive privilege. But despite all he's done to reach out to us, ultimately, of course, sending his own son to die for us, if we choose to live for ourselves and reject his advances and pursue injustice and unrighteousness after so long, God underlines our decision. Tragic. But that's what love is like, isn't it? It is. If I pursue my beautiful wife, Michelle, and she rejects my advances, she goes off with loads of other blokes, smashes my house, wastes all our resources, after so long, I'll have to say, despite my great love for you, woman, we ain't got a relationship here, have we? It's right, isn't it? Now, that is not my story, praise the Lord. But it's right, isn't it? After so long of God pursuing us, saying, here I am, here I am. Look, here I am, even willing to die for you. If after so long, all we do is choose unrighteousness, build our own kingdoms, ultimately God's going to underline it. And in Isaiah 65, there's these terrible words of just what it looks like. From verse 13, my servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, you'll go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you'll be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish and wail in brokenness of spirit. What a terrible picture, really, of someone who's just chosen to go their own way, build their own kingdom, live their own life, say no, God. What a stupid thing to do. Isn't it amazing that we have, though, the right to say no to God? Down the road from we stayed in this hotel, but literally down the road is this hotel. It's got that picture there. It's called Bahamar Hotel. It was meant to be a game changer for the Bahamas. It went to transform their economy. It was going to put their GDP up by 12%. It's 2,300 bedrooms, casino. Jack Nicklaus has designed this massive golf course. It's the largest development in the world at the moment. $3.5 billion development. And yet it's gone bankrupt. 97% complete. And so instead of transforming the economy for good, it's transformed the economy for ill. And there's even a threat of it bringing down the Bahamian economy. It's so massive. So many businesses that are associated with this, they're going bust all over the place. It's got everything there. It's even got the glass in. There's the golf course, but it's empty. And as the lawyers now fight over this, it's more and more getting overgrown. And they were saying while we were there, we don't think it's ever going to open. Thousands of people over so many years have worked so hard to build this massive, it's the world's greatest white elephant. What a tragedy. And I felt like a little picture of what God's talking about here in Isaiah 65. We can build something. We can build a life, build a life, build a life. It looks so amazing, but ultimately it's useless and empty and bankrupt. That's be the final thing. It all looks so great. We've all got it going on, but we're out of our depth because we haven't turned to the Savior. You understand what I'm saying? That's the picture. That's the picture of Isaiah. Come on, people. Look at all I've got for you. Look at all you can enjoy. Look at all the blessings of walking with God. And you choose to go your own way. You choose to pursue your own agenda. So all I can do is underline that and say we can't have a relationship because you don't want a relationship. Your life may look great, but ultimately you'll end up empty, bankrupt, and ashamed. But that's not for us, praise the Lord. There is a division coming, and I want as many people as possible to be on the right side of that division, don't you? For us is not that. For us is this, pictured in verse 17. I'll create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I'll create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people to be a joy. I'll rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. Do you like the sound of it? That's your destiny because you know Jesus, because you've been forgiven, because you've been accepted, because you're walking with him. There is a place of no chemotherapy, no premature deaths, no stillbirths. It's a place we're going. Anybody here today sick? Anybody sad? Anybody stressed? Anybody skint? There will be people all around this place. Don't be surprised that this side of heaven, there's some of that going on. You know, the Bible says, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're going through as if something, don't be surprised as if something strange were going on. No, this side of heaven, there are painful trials. But we've got a vision that keeps us going. A vision of a new heaven and a new earth when it's all going to be made right. Of course, we want God to break in at any moment and deliver us from life's difficulties. But as we journey, the vision of heaven, you see why the slave songs are so profound. These people, you know, the 100-odd years ago, these people who were treated so terribly with such appalling injustice, their songs were, soon and very soon, I'm going to be with the king. Soon and very, their songs were songs of glory. They had a vision. Surely this can't be heaven here, but there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it keeps you going, doesn't it? Sometimes I feel like we have our eggs in the wrong basket. We expect all the blessings to be here, when actually 99.9% of the blessings are there, aren't they? Are to come, this new heaven and this new earth. Struck me that, reading this, that, you know, our touchstone scripture, which you'll hear, and Megan's joined us today for the first time, and as others come through, you'll hear me and others talk about this scripture more than any other. It's the verse that birthed the message, Isaiah 43, verse 18. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it's breaking forth. There'll be rivers in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals will honor me. That's our kind of foundational verse. You see it as you walk in this warehouse, and it was the Lord. But we kind of make that verse, and in some ways it's good and it's right. We make that verse all about here, don't we? We make the verse all about God's going to do a new thing in people's lives. God's going to do a new thing in a city, and then we believe even all over the world God's going to do a new thing, and there's going to be rivers in the desert, streams in the wasteland, wild animals will honor me. That's good. Of course that's good. That's our heartbeat. But the ultimate new thing that God's going to do, the big new thing, bigger than any of this, is the new heavens and new earth that go on for all eternity, where his chosen people are. Am I right? Totally new order of living. All things made new. I think sometimes we picture heaven like a kind of upgrade. You know, we'll be queuing up for heaven, and instead of iPhone 5, ooh, we'll see what the iPhone 8's going to be like. And nobody's really seen how amazing that is. Nobody sees what's in the mind of Steve Jobs when he passed it all on. You know, but actually, no, this is not an upgrade. This is a total new order of things. Whole new, it's not just turned around, it's turned upside down. It's turned right way up, isn't it? The new heavens and the new earth that we'll be, and we'll all be there in 100 years' time because we know Jesus and we've decided to say yes. We've decided to say, here I am, God. In response to you saying, here I am, here I am, we've decided to say, here I am, send me. Well, just before we went to Orlando, we had our Rough Diamonds Day. What a great day that was. So encouraging in this room, this place packed with men. And Paul Lloyd came from Victory Outreach, and he showed a video, and it really touched me. It's 4 minutes long, and it was just a bunch of God-only stories. And some people are in this room, and people who've joined us at the MEC, you'll see. And I wanted to show it again, because I want to sense the tension that we're living with between, see, I'm doing a new thing. See, I'm doing a new thing now. I'm doing a new thing in lots of people. There's some things that only God can do. But the ultimate glory to come. If God can do that in these people's lives, surely he can do that. If God can do the impossible, surely he can do this impossible thing, this incredible thing of the new heavens and the new earth. And we need to be somehow straddling the two. Yes, your kingdom come, your will be done. Do it, Lord. break in, God, save people. But ultimately, the thing that keeps us going is this vision of heaven, and God's going to make all things new. And even if we don't overcome the sickness and the sadness and the suffering and the skintness, we will one day. And it's going to be all right. And because we're a child of God, we don't need to live in fear. We can walk with our heads held high and we can walk in faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're going to show this video, even if it's just for me. But you won't be. You'll be blessed by this. Because in a way, it's like, these are Victory Outreach stories, but we've shared in a number of them. And so you'll see that there's a bunch of people just from the most broken lives who are now absolutely amazing in the kingdom of God. Sat next to me, and so there's a number of them who you'll see who were heroin addicts. Sat next to me was Justin Dowds, who now a friend of ours who's leading Compassion. But he sat next to me, and he's a bit of a girl, so he's weeping. Carl told him off publicly for weeping. Carl said, "We're just to say that we're not going to have any more of that weeping this afternoon. Many of you men are worried." But Justin said to me, I worked as a pharmacist for many years, and for the last 8 years, I worked with drug addicts. And I worked with many, many drug addicts in Scotland, and I never saw one addict get beyond getting addicted to methadone. The best hope that this highly skilled pharmacist could bring was go from being addicted to this drug to addicted to that drug. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he was like, "That is amazing. In all my time of training my own strength and with all the skill and all the good care of the National Health Service, I couldn't see what only Jesus can do when he does a new thing." So watch this. And at the end of this video, I think we might actually stand up and clap and cheer for what God can do. Is that all right? Even if you don't feel like it, you're going to do it because I've told you to. But it'll be good for us. Okay, watch this.
Hi, my name's John. I'm a graduate of Men's Home.
My name's Abby. I'm a graduate of the Men's Home.
Hi there, my name's Sam. I'm a graduate of the Men's Home.
Hi, my name's Teresa. I'm a graduate of the Women's Home.
My name's Christopher. I'm a graduate of the Victory Outreach Manchester Men's Home.
My name is Pastor Kevin Keenan, and I am a graduate of Victory Outreach Men's Home.
Hello, my name is Barry, and I'm a graduate of Victory Outreach Men's Home.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm a graduate of Victory Outreach Men's Home.
I'm Zoe, and I'm a graduate of the Victory Outreach Women's Home.
Hi, my name's John, and I'm a graduate of the Men's Home.
Hi, my name's Emma Slevin, and I'm a graduate of Victory Outreach Women's Home.
Hi, my name's Andy. I'm a graduate of Victory Outreach Manchester Men's Home.
My name is Cyril. I'm a graduate of the Men's Home.
Hi, my name's Laura, and I'm a graduate of the Women's Home.
Hello, my name is Roy, and I'm a graduate of the Men's Home.
You take me as I am. You call me child. name is Deborah, and I'm a graduate of the Victory Outreach Women's Hub.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a graduate of the Men's Hub.
My name's Anita and I'm a graduate of the Women's Hub.
My name's Paul, I'm a graduate of the Men's Hub.
My name's Vicky and I'm a graduate from the Women's Hub.
My name is Brian, and I'm a graduate from the Men's Hub.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I'm a graduate of the Women's Hub.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that there truly are some things only you can do. And here in this city right now, you're doing it. And we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise that nobody's beyond your love. Thank you that you are reaching out into the hardest, most broken lives and saying, here I am, here I am, here I am. Lord, we pray for more of these glorious testimonies. And we say, it's worth it, Lord. It's worth it. All the trials, all the difficulties, all the challenges to see your kingdom come and see these lives put back together for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 How good is that? Isn't that great? And none of them are the finished article, but they can all say, see, he's doing a new thing. Wow. I was a wild animal, but now I'm somebody who's honoring the Lord, and what a precious thing that is. So we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to see that breakthrough in our generation. We want to be writing our books with millions saved. But the ultimate prize is heaven, is glory. And it's great that people from ReTrack are with us. Because when we live where we live, you can so easily think it's all about here. You know, because we're so comfortable. We've got so many things on a plate. Remember going to Haiti and visiting that church that had this experience, town, thousands dead, and driving through this lake, bouncing up and down in our 4x4 with thousands dead in this lake of cholera and all sorts of horrible things happening, people buried in the mud in this place called Gonaive, and going to this church that had been destroyed, and in an upper room were people singing. They'd been waiting for 3 hours for us to meet them. And they were singing, and I said, Timothy, what are they singing? The pastor, he said, they're singing, he went, because they're singing in Creole. He said, they're singing, because of all my difficulties, Jesus died for me. And it's a different perspective, isn't it? Because life is so terrible sometimes, because there are these difficulties. He's died for us to give us a place in glory. And there's an expectation that it's going to be so much more amazing than this. Of course we want the kingdom to break in. Of course we want to fight injustice. We want to see Haiti change. We want to see the terrible, disgusting injustices in Africa transformed through God's church as he does his work. But our expectation, our full hope, the full measure of our hope is that new heaven and that new earth to come, because God's reached out to us and is determined that we're going to be there with him for all eternity. Do we get it? Do we get that tension we're living with? The not yet, not quite yet, the now we're experiencing, which is great, but it's only a tiny deposit of the glory to come that will keep us going. And as we press into Jesus in his presence, we'll get more and more of a vision of that, whoa, it's going to be good. Okay, I'm going to pray one more prayer, and then I'd love us to pray for ReTrack and just pray for proximity as well. Maybe Sam could just bring a couple of prayer requests towards that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've got prepared for us, that you have prepared a place for us. There is a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be part of that. Incredible. Thank you that we get these little tastes, these little down payments of your kingdom. We see what you can do. And I pray we'll be people who are so heavenly minded that we're lots of earthly use. We pray, God, that you'll give us a vision of heaven, a vision of eternity, and we'll live in the light of it. Thank you for where we're going. We just want so many more to go with us, Lord. We want on your behalf to say, here he is. Here he is. He can save you. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. And it can be forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.